Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Yeah, welcome to Going In Raw. The Dirt Sheet Debate Show. I don't know what to call it, man.
Yeah, we need to think of a new name. Every name I think of, well, you know, like Wrestle War.
YouTube's going to flag that.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
So
Wrestle Battle flagged.
Matt Wars, again.
Matt Wars flagged. Anything with war in it.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So trying to think of a name that will be okay with YouTube. And once we do that, rebrand, new intro, all that.
Wrestling Civilized Debate. Flagged
conversation.
Yeah. Anyways, this is the show where we debate things.
Yeah.
In the wrestling world, using our lovely $20 and up patrons, they put their video debate questions up here, and then we answer them definitively. Now, keep in mind, a lot of these debate topics, Larson and I actually kind of agree on, but it's always fun
to argue.
Nothing's more fun than arguing, right? Yeah. Like I said, these are coming from our $20 up patrons. However, over there on the patreon.com/Steven Larson, we have a whole wealth of reward tiers starting from $1 going all the way up to $200,000, where Larson will too sweet me on. We haven't checked this in a while. Maybe somebody's actually done a $200,000 reward tier.
I think we would have known by now.
No?
No.
That means no. All right. Anyways, be sure to hit that subscribe button on YouTube. We're on the road to 182,000 subs. If we get it.
We're going to have a sub party.
Yeah.
Sandwiches.
Party with subs. But anyways, we're not here to talk about submarine sandwiches. We're here to talk about wrestling and debating topics.
Let's move on to our first topic, courtesy of Patrick Sparks. Let's see what Patrick has to say.
Hey, friendos, Pat here. All right, time for more conspiracy talk. No, I'm just kidding. But I do have a debate topic. So, No Mercy's coming up, and there's going to be two huge matches on that card, one of which being Monster versus Beast, Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman for the Universal title, and the other being Boring Babyface versus Older Boring Babyface, Roman Reigns versus John Cena. My question for you is, which one of those matches will be the main event and why? Honestly, I want it to be Braun versus Brock because it's going to be way more fun, way more intriguing. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's for the title. But a little part of me thinks it's going to be Reigns-Cena because it's a bigger quality match. It's a WrestleMania match, to say. And Cena has a lot of push backstage. But I want to know what you guys think. Thanks, friendos. Bye.
Thank you, Patrick.
So,
I think we both agree on what will.
The Universal Championship
match. Yeah, right? That's probably what will. But let's argue about what should main event No Mercy.
The Universal Championship match.
Well, that's what you're going to say. I'm going to say something else, but you have the easier argument to make, so go ahead and make it.
All right, fine. Two words, Universal Championship. It, at this point, like it or not, legacy or no, which in this case there's no legacy behind it, it is the premier title in all of professional wrestling. I know we both probably think it's the IWGP belt, but WWE is the number one company in the entire world, on the planet.
Universe.
In the entire universe that we know of. And this is the Universal Championship. Brock Lesnar, their marquee name, their ratings draw, their part-time big money talent, who up until a couple weeks ago was going to move on to the UFC and come back to the WWE with an even bigger name. Brock Lesnar's their marquee guy. Braun Strowman is their hottest new-ish talent. Their hottest new member of the main event scene, that's Braun Strowman. Two beasts, they were both participants in SummerSlam's best match, the Fatal 4-Way, for that prestigious Universal Championship. Right now, Brock is the man, and that's why this should main event the show. I'm just stating the obvious here. Don't take a dummy to know this. You're doing the Kevin Nash?
Yeah.
Yeah.
An itch.
I think I'm going to enjoy your argument for Cena Reigns, though.
Yeah, you are. All right. So what was the main event of WrestleMania this past year?
The Fatal 4-Way for the Universal Championship.
No, WrestleMania.
Roman Reigns, Undertaker?
Yes.
Yeah, that was because Undertaker.
Yeah. Whenever there's like a passing of the torch situation. Grant, I know Undertaker, at least in theory, retired following that match.
Yeah.
At least if we're to believe that him folding up his coat, putting his hat on top of it in the middle of the ring, and him walking out, descending below the stage is symbolically a retirement.
Maybe he just stuck around too long. Maybe he does that every
match. That was all on the broadcast, man. Anyways, this is a passing of the torch. Reigns is going to beat Cena.
Yeah.
Vince likes Roman Reigns main eventing things.
Yeah, he does.
He likes Reigns winning things too, and yeah, Reigns hasn't won a pay-per-view match in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I kind of feel like it's a no-win situation for WWE right now with the main event of No Mercy, because people like Brock, people love Braun.
Oh yeah.
And the crowd reaction, to put it generously, for Roman Reigns is mixed.
Yeah.
I think regardless of what main events, the crowd isn't necessarily going to be totally cool with it, because when Brock beats Braun,
mm-hmm.
you know, a large portion of the crowd is going to be like, bummer.
Boo.
Braun didn't win. But I think to a certain extent, that's expected. But I also think the crowd is expecting Reigns to beat Cena. Nonetheless, they're going to boo
yeah.
the hell out of the match. So regardless, you can't take crowd reaction into consideration when booking the main event of this match. But one thing you can take into consideration is, what is the most talked about feud potentially in all of wrestling right now?
Brock and Braun.
No. Cena and Reigns, because of their shoot style promos.
That's true.
Big dog.
Big dog.
This feud has a lot of buzz going for it right now.
Yeah.
Buzz, which will carry it to the main event of No Mercy, where Roman Reigns will beat Cena, be a passing of the torch. Cena will go shoot Bumblebee.
Mm-hmm.
Reigns will begin his path to main eventing WrestleMania for the 10th year in a row.
Yeah.
It all begins here.
Oh.
The road starts here.
Yeah.
That's why he needs to main event the show.
Yeah.
And another thing to take into consideration is that we can anticipate probably Brock showing up one more time before No Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the intensity level of the Brock-Braun feud right now is where it's going to remain leading up to No Mercy, whereas we're going to have two more weeks of Cena, Roman Reigns, verbal fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
This feud, the intensity level can only go one way.
Yeah.
Up.
Up.
Big dog.
Big dog.
So with the added intensity, the buzz surrounding this feud because of the shoot style promos, and the passing of the torch element involved in this match, it has to main event.
Yeah.
It has to main event. Cena's going to be gone after this. Roman Reigns will be doing a lot of other stuff the crowd will crap on.
Yeah.
Main event. It's not going to main event, I know.
It's not going to main event.
It's not going to main event, I know. Main event.
No, and here's the thing. I kind of feel like it should also. I kind of feel like it should. It's been a really, like you said, I mean, all your points are actually the ones that I side on, regardless of what I think it should be. But, you know, they have Brock Lesnar. They don't really have Brock Lesnar a whole lot these days. Next up, from Michael Berry, we have a question from Michael Berry.
What's going on, friendos? Hope you guys had a good time at Battle of LA. Quick debate question. Should the Elite join the WWE or stay on the independents with Ring of Honor and New Japan and just keep doing what they're doing? Love to hear you guys' sides.
Thank you, Michael Berry.
Thank you. All right, so here's the thing. You and I are kind of both on the same page about the Elite and the WWE. We both kind of feel like at this point, it'd be a shame for them to join the WWE, because they're in the middle of, I think they're in their prime and they're doing such amazing work. Now, I do think that.
But here's the argument I can make, and I will make, to support the case for them going to WWE.
Oh, you're going
to
go first.
Yes, I'm going to go first. You went first last time. I go first this time.
Sounds good.
So we know that the Young Bucks are under contract, I believe, through the end of next year.
Okay.
With Ring of Honor.
Yes.
Kenny Omega is signed till around February of 2018. So the soonest we're going to get the Elite in WWE would be early 2019.
Yeah.
So, as you mentioned, they're in their prime right now. Yeah, they are an independent wrestling juggernaut in terms of selling merchandise, making lots of money. We just went to the Ebola night 2, where they main evented with Pentagon Jr., Phoenix, and Fatima in a 6-man tag match, and it was fascinating to see Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks in the ring selling the merchandise before the show.
You were so endlessly tickled.
It was so entertaining. All that said, they are the hottest thing in wrestling right now. Bullet Club, the Elite. They've done a marvelous job building that brand.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, they're in their prime right now. Kenny Omega said several times that he doesn't know how much longer he'll be able to wrestle the style he wrestles currently.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to make the jump to WWE, they kind of have to do it within the next 2 years before they're physically beaten down and can't wrestle the same entertaining style. Mm-hmm. Not that they necessarily would be able to in WWE, but some semblance of it.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, imagine the dream matches we can have. Elite versus New Day.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Omega, AJ Styles. Kenny Omega, Finn Balor. Mm-hmm. Kenny Omega, Seth Rollins. All these dream matches that we all want to see when both competitors or all the competitors are in their prime. We want to see that. They don't have to go to NXT, obviously. Straight to the main roster. Debut at the Royal Rumble 2019. Make a huge splash. Kenny wins the Rumble. Main events WrestleMania. Beats AJ Styles for the belt. Huge. And then he can leave.
Yeah, that's true.
Just, you know, based on what Kenny said, he wants that moment. He wants to wrestle AJ Styles on the largest stage of them all. And I know a lot of wrestlers can make a really good living wrestling the independents between appearances, selling merch. I mean, I think the Young Bucks make six figures easily.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, I won't say it's universal, but I would imagine that a lot of wrestlers, at least in the back of their mind, they have to wonder, can I do this? Can I achieve this level of success on the largest stage possible? And from hearing Kenny talk, I know that's in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're going to do it, they need to do it soon before they're too beat up from wrestling in New Japan.
Yeah.
So it needs to happen. Make it happen now.
Yeah.
Let's do it now. So, yes, they should join. They should join as soon as the Young Bucks contract expires, I guess January 1, 2019. Make it happen.
You said something as kind of an aside, kind of a minor point in the way you phrased it, but it's totally not. It's exactly the crux of why they need to wait. And that is, if they'd be able to wrestle their style, they wouldn't. There is not a chance, no chance in hell, the WWE would let them wrestle in a style that even approximates what they do right now. They are, all three of them, especially Kenny, magnificent storytellers. I would imagine that in wrestling, storytelling is probably like, you know, they say in basketball, you never lose your jump shot. I imagine that storytelling is kind of like the jump shot.
Yeah.
Not only do you not lose it, it gets better with age. That's one thing that I've been learning from reading the Ric Flair book.
Well, and I think that's something too that can
hold on a second. I'm in the middle of my argument right now.
Okay, sorry. I mean, so far I can tailor your argument to favor mine.
Not really allowed to do that.
Well, you tried to do it last week, so.
So let them carry through with the prime of their independent success. They're not like the Briscoes yet, where the Briscoes really have nothing left to do. The Young Bucks and Kenny Omega are still pioneering wrestling, doing what they're doing right now. There is no rush for them to get to the WWE. Zero rush. They will arguably be better storytellers in 3-4 years from now, and they won't have to wrestle the style that beats them up right now. They will be able to wrestle compelling matches, more creative matches, 3-4 years from now, and they won't have to rely on the high spots. They'll be able to go to the WWE. They'll be able to accomplish everything they want to accomplish in New Japan, on the indie scene, in Ring of Honor, right now, have all the fun in the world, let their kids grow up a little bit, then make the transition to WWE after they really shouldn't be doing the high spot type of wrestling that WWE won't even let them do anyways. So once they get to the WWE, they can be focusing on the storytelling that they've been building up the foundations for and becoming truly elite storytellers. By the time they get to the WWE, their brand, if you think it's hot now, 3 years from now, it's going to be even hotter. They're not going to wane. There's not going to be any wane on how hot they are. They're going to continue to build and build and build. And when the time is right, which is still, I think 3 to 4 years from now, then cash in with the WWE, make that big, big money straight to main roster, straight to WrestleMania. Then you'll get your matches that you want. You'll get your matches. Hopefully, Revival will be, you know, not so injury prone by that point. You'll get the Young Bucks versus the Revival. You get Kenny Omega versus AJ Styles. He's not going anywhere.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned storytelling. And yeah, wrestlers can continue to grow as storytellers, obviously. But I think storytelling, to a certain degree, can transcend a wrestler's style.
Mm-hmm.
So Kenny, yeah, he might not be able to do all the knees and stuff, the Snapdragon suplexes. But he's such a marvelous storyteller, he could scale back his style and still tell compelling stories.
Absolutely.
Without all the high spots, without the more dangerous moves.
So there's no reason for him to go now.
No, I'm not saying there's a reason for them to go or not go. I'm just countering your point that 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 changing their style be a huge detriment to them in WWE. I don't think it necessarily would, because they're still really good storytellers. They can still tell compelling stories regardless of style. Second, you mentioned there's no huge rush, but there is some urgency because of injuries. Kenny's dealing with a meniscus injury right now. One, the Young Bucks,
everybody deals with that.
That he's already having back issues.
Yeah,
due to the style of wrestling they employ. While there's not a rush, I wouldn't be surprised by the time early 2019 rolls around if there is some sense of urgency in terms of, okay, if we want to be in WWE, this is something we might want to think about doing very, very soon before we get hurt bad. And also, you mentioned building a brand. There's going to be a limit to their reach as a brand on the platforms they are on now. Granted, New Japan is incredibly popular in the States. Yeah, I know Hot Topic selling Bullet Club shirts. But you mentioned before that anecdotally, it seems like people are just buying the shirts because they look cool.
I think that's just my own gut instinct.
Yeah, anecdotally.
There's that one guy.
exactly. But if you want to take the elite brand to the next level, you bring it to the largest stage possible, which is a WWE. And there is a limit on one's... you mentioned like they will be, it's like an evergreen popularity for the elite. That's not necessarily true. Something hot can come along down the pipe in 2 years and people will forget about the elite. I'm not saying it will happen, but it's possible. So if you want, the way to do it is to build your brand till it's nearly at its apex. Then you jump ship.
Yeah. But okay, here's the thing.
I mean, really, if Kenny Omega will probably never be hotter than he was after the Wrestle Kingdom 11 match against
Okada. I think you're wrong. He's hotter now. His hotness has only grown. When did their merchandise land on Hot Topic? 2 hours ago? Yesterday?
A while ago.
Yeah. No, a while ago.
Well, like 2 months ago. Yeah,
2 months ago. If that...
In terms of negotiating power, I don't know if he... I still kind of feel like after that match with Okada, the buzz surrounding him, he could have named his price and gotten it.
I think he still can. Mm. And I think that price is actually just goes up day to day to day. Every time he has another six-star match, his stock grows. Every time he lands another shirt in Hot Topic, his stock grows. I guarantee you, he is one New Japan TV deal on a better station, a station with more outreach than access, mm-hmm. from his stock rising even further.
That's entirely possible. That's not the situation he's in right now. He can
no,
go to WWE.
His situation right now is better than his situation after Wrestle Kingdom. And it'll be even bigger after the next Wrestle Kingdom when him and Kota Ibushi have a go-kart match.
Oh, that'd be good.
And that'd be great.
A little bike match.
A little tiny bike match. Yes. A comically small bike match.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's what really should happen.
And anyway, I think we're kind of like picking on the same, because your should they join now for you is at the end of their contract.
Well, I mean, that's like the only time they could.
And the should they join now for me is, yeah, in a couple of years.
When their contract's
yeah. up. So we're kind of, yeah, exactly. Kind of the same deal.
Next from Jake Riley. Mm-hmm. Let's see what Jake has to say.
Hey, guys, quick question. Should CM Punk ever step back into the octagon? Thank you.
Thanks, Jake. Oh, this is going to be a fun one.
Yeah. You get to go first, too.
So... All right. Should CM Punk ever step back into the octagon? No. We saw what happened before, and it's only going to get worse. It won't get any better. They cannot find an opponent who was any more suited for him than Mickey Gall, who only had a 2-1-0 record. He didn't have a record, basically. They can't find another guy like him. CM Punk's only getting older. He's only getting more hurt. He's only going to suck more. No. No, no, and then no again. I mean, I know there's money. There's other ways to make money where you don't look like a fool. And so no. On top of that, it disrespects the sport. That's what really bugged me about the first time he got in there. It was like, he's basically any old Joe, but he has like a name he made in pro wrestling. Dana White just wanted to trot out a pro wrestler out there and say, hey, you know what? These guys are fake. So here you go. Let's feed him to the wolves. No, we shouldn't do it again. WME probably will, though, because they like money. They'll make a bunch of money off pay-per-view buys. It's dumb. Anybody who argues that he should step in the octagon is dumb. He'd be dumb for doing it. So go ahead and make your dumb argument. Why should he step back in the octagon?
Sure, he should. Why not?
Hold on a second. Before you start this, do you believe this or not?
We'll discuss that at the end of my argument.
Okay, go ahead.
You mentioned money.
Yeah.
Businesses aren't in the business of business to put on compelling athletic events. They're in the business of business to make money.
Okay.
And if putting on compelling athletic events makes some money, then they'll do it. If they think trotting out a gimmick will make the money, you're darn right they're going to do that.
Yeah.
And if the pay-per-view buys are any indication, CM Punk is money.
Yeah.
And as long as pay-per-view buys are still high, then I think there'll be an invitation extended to him to get his beat down in 2 minutes in the middle of the octagon.
Yeah.
Also, Jake Riley just says, will he ever step back in the octagon? He didn't necessarily specify as a fighter. CM Punk would be a great interviewer.
God damn it, you and your freaking like dancing around debate topics.
No, that's smart. That's called intelligence. CM Punk would be a fantastic commentator and interviewer in UFC. He's not an expert in the sport, but he's done it. So he knows something about it. I would hope he would know what not to do yeah. going forward. He's a great talker. He's always been great on the mic.
Yeah.
So if his fight career is over, which it probably should be, he would still make a fantastic commentator or interviewer for UFC. One way or the other, I expect to see him back in the octagon at least one more time.
Yeah.
If it's in a fighting capacity, his time there will last no longer than 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But if that's what he wants to do, if it's something he is passionate about, if it's something that the UFC has not been doing terribly well financially.
True.
So for the health of the business, from a financial perspective, not necessarily the integrity of the athletic competition. Yeah. if WME and UFC think that having Punk on the card for a 2 minute fight will help their bottom line, and Punk gets the thrill of fighting again, it's a win-win for those parties. I mean, the previous fight was lame. He got destroyed. And he looked like he was crushed after that fight. But it sold a lot. I don't think people really care to remember much about it.
Yeah.
I think most people have forgotten that by now.
Yeah.
Why not? Let him fight again.
Yeah.
Let him fight again. Yeah, let him fight again.
You know, we always had a great idea with
have him be an Ultimate Fighter.
Have him, do that, or like
that's just what they should
have him fight some in the minor leagues of UFC, whatever developmental relationships they have with these promotions,
regional promotions,
and then put that on Fight Pass. Yeah. It'd be great. You can promote the hell out of Fight Pass. People would pay money just for Fight Pass to see a CM Punk match because people love CM Punk.
Exactly. People love CM Punk.
Yeah. I love CM Punk.
I'd much rather see the guy hurt again. Honestly,
in
a certain respect, I'd much rather have CM Punk back in the octagon than have him just writing comic books. Because I feel like at least if he's training and trying to fight, that's something that he seems exceptionally passionate about. I know he's a comic book fan. But at the same time, he quit wrestling not to write comic books. He quit wrestling with the idea that he was going to try to be an MMA fighter.
That's true. That's
so
true.
I'd like to see him at least try to fulfill some aspect of his dream.
Yeah.
Part of it was getting in the octagon. He's done that.
Yeah.
I would hope that his next goal will be involved in something resembling a competitive fight. And then if that is achieved, then maybe next he can have one more and maybe be in a position where he might actually win.
Man, do they do still the circus, where man versus kangaroos?
I don't know if you can do that anymore.
Man versus bears
and I don't think you can do that anymore.
They have them fight like animals.
What animal would be a worthy adversary for CM Punk in your estimation?
I mean a docile rabbit. An old, really old rabbit. Super duper old rabbit.
I kind of feel like if Punk had
turtle,
learned, if Punk had been told not to charge your opponent and swing wildly, that he might have been okay in that fight.
That's what I want his interviews to be like when he goes in there. I noticed you didn't punch wildly over his head. Why did you not employ that strategy?
You could say, "Well, I did that last fight and didn't work, so I learned from my previous mistakes."
No, I'm talking about Punk as the interviewer.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I noticed you didn't employ the strategy of throwing your fist wildly into the air.
Yes, after charging full steam ahead at your opponent.
He just,
who has considerably, though not a lot of MMA, considerably more, but not a lot of MMA experience.
Yeah. Should Punk get back in the octagon?
Of course not. Yeah, he should. Why not?
Of course not.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, my God. He probably still has nightmares from the first one.
One of my favorite gifs is the one of on the Twitter gif keyboard of him after he lost that fight, where he looks like he's about to cry. It's great.
He has total cry face. Anyways, our good friendo Carlos Hackworth has a question here. Let's see what Carlos has to say.
Hey, what's going on, friendos? I know it's been a while since I uploaded a video question. But here's my chance. I'm just now leaving the gym, so I thought I'd go ahead and make one. I guess the topic for debate is how much of the talent that's in WWE is being wasted. Whether it is the wrestlers not living up to WWE standards, or is it just creative doesn't have anything for them to do? You can look at some of the wrestlers who have poor experience in the WWE, but they go to other wrestling promotions and they find some very good success. So I guess my thing is to you guys, do you think that it is the wrestlers not living up to WWE standards at times, or is it, you know, kind of creative doesn't have anything for them to do, which most times creative has nothing for them to do, but it's oftentimes also that, you know, they just don't live up to the standards, even though they may have phenomenal talent. It's just, they may not live up to what WWE needs them to do. Cause I think that WWE kind of shows favoritism a little bit, but, I just want to get your thoughts. Thanks, friendos.
Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you, Carlos. How much talent is being wasted? Is it on the wrestlers or creative?
Well, before we continue with this argument, I think to preface, very often we put a lot of the blame on creative because there seems to be a lot of bad ideas being put upon wrestlers.
That is correct.
Most recent example is whatever Dolph is doing now.
You know what, though? I suspect that's Dolph.
It could be.
I honestly get the feeling that might be Dolph. That could might be a Dolph Ziggler creation. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either. Anyways, a lot of times we see instances where creative just doesn't have anything for wrestlers, or it's just not that great.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, who goes first? I do.
Okay.
Nonetheless, we have also seen examples of wrestlers who are given crap gimmicks,
yeah,
who get those gimmicks over.
Yeah,
Perry Saturn got a mop over. You know, it is possible. So I don't think it's...
like that's the example you use.
That's the first example that popped in my
head. It's a great example, though.
So while it's easy to blame creative for the failure of gimmicks getting over or characters getting over, quite often you hear instances where wrestlers are given crap and turned into something.
Mm-hmm.
You also hear instances of wrestlers who, tired of being given crap, they take the initiative and they go and say... CM Punk, for example, they weren't doing anything with him. So he went off and he wrote, 14 weeks of television?
Something like that, yeah.
Went to Vince directly. He said, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And he convinced Vince to do it. Granted, he had been in the company for a little bit. I assume had a certain amount of stroke.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, Vince was on Stone Cold's podcast. He wants people to grab that brass ring.
Yeah.
Take the initiative. And if you're not satisfied with your position and you're not satisfied with what creative is giving you, then offer up something better.
Yeah.
Offer up storylines. Or take what creative gives you, find a spin on it that works for you, and do the best with it you can.
Mm-hmm.
I think if people, and we say this all the time, that if we see people who are given garbage creative but are doing the most with it that they can, mm-hmm, we appreciate that. And I would hope executives in WWE would feel the same way. They see, oh, this, you know, they took this opportunity that might not have been that great and they made the most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give them something better. So I know a lot of times there's just garbage creative. It happens. Not everything can be gold. But it's, at the same time, you have to make the most of the opportunities presented to you. And if you don't like the opportunities presented to you, make your own opportunities. That's pretty much all I got to say about it.
Okay. I'm going to go to something you said just a moment ago when you said something like, you know, sometimes there's garbage creative, but you can't do anything about it. Something like that. I forget what he said. Anyway, screw it. Look at 205 Live.
Yeah.
Under the radar show. It's been acknowledged in several reports that that's the reason why Enzo Amore was sent there, is to keep him out of Vince's hair. So we can take a look at 205 Live. You can also take a look at NXT, but we can take a look at 205 Live as an example of really good creative.
Mm-hmm.
There has been an instance of one storyline that really hasn't resonated with us in the recent past, and that's Kendrick Gallagher with that clown stuff, which I thought mildly amusing at times, but only because it was done so poorly. The clown picture was funny. That being said, the majority of 205 Live is really, really good. Now, when we say creative, I'm not necessarily going to put this at the... I think we both understand that it all goes down to Vince. Like, Vince, it's if something goes wrong, it's probably Vince. Like, yeah, wrestlers can botch things. That's fine. But by and large, all these ideas are, you know, are greenlit or not from Vince.
Yeah.
But, you know, the shows have their writers, so we can put this at their feet as well. If you look at 205 Live, you see an example of unfettered creative working really, really well. What am I arguing? Yes or no? Creative?
Creative is to blame.
Creative is to blame for wrestlers being wasted?
Yeah.
So, in the same respect, you can see creative on Main, on Raw and SmackDown, and you see failure. Creative failure. You see on 205 Live, when creative is given license to do what they can do, the wrestlers succeeding.
You know, you're kind of taking finding SmackDown. A loophole here to not blame anybody but Vince.
Well, don't you agree he's kind of the guy to blame for the company if it's creatively going wrong when he's like the head creative guy?
To a certain degree.
Yeah, he's not a wrestler anymore. No. Anymore.
Never really was a wrestler.
No, he wasn't. So, you can see an example of when creative goes good over there on 205 Live, but then you also look at things on Raw, like, okay, Nia Jax walking in and to talk to Kurt Angle, and like the ridiculous dialogue she's given. Nobody can pull that dialogue off. It's terrible dialogue. It's awful.
Samoa Joe could do it.
Well, Samoa Joe can do anything. He could read from a telephone book, but even I'm not sure that like dialogue was really, really bad.
Samoa Joe could do it.
Another example, you got Bayley and that ridiculous storyline with her and Alexa Bliss, how like Bayley's dad used to go with her to school and stuff. Like, what wrestler can make that work?
Yeah, that
nobody can make that work.
That's tough.
Alexa Bliss couldn't make Bayley, This Is Your Life work, and we acknowledge that Alexa Bliss can make most things work.
Yeah.
She can make things work. So, you know, it's creative's fault when things go bad.
Here, to touch on your 205 Live storyline, there was another storyline in there that wasn't that great, but due to the strength of the performances, it worked. And that's the Cedric Alexander, Noam Dar, Alicia Fox love triangle thing. It went on way too long. The ingredients were there for it to be lame, but the individual performers made it work.
Yeah, they made it work when it was distilled to its essence. And if you chopped out a couple weeks,
yeah, which it was too long.
Is laid at the feet of creative.
Yeah, but I'm saying performers, they said, okay, this is the opportunity we have. Let's do the best we can with it. And they made it work. This Is Your Life segment. Yeah, there's no salvaging that from a creative standpoint unless performers go to creative and say, this is crap. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, we literally saw Roman Reigns being forced to channel Vince McMahon's words a year or two ago.
And whether it is based on his own inexperience or him lacking the confidence to go to Vince and say, this is crap. I mean, like, if CM Punk was given that script, he would have said, no, I'm not reading this.
Yeah, probably.
I'm not doing this. Yeah. Cena would say, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Even Seth Rollins, I think, would read it, or Dean Ambrose would read it and say, I'm not doing this. This isn't good. This isn't my character.
I don't know. Given that Seth didn't have the stroke to say, I'm not having a guy say burn it down.
But he did get to choose what thing went into that gap in the song.
Kind of a list of options.
Yeah. But Dean Ambrose would have read that and said, no, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
So, in the grand scheme, yeah, Vince is to blame for the creative failures of the company. I agree with that. And for the most part, I agree that creative is largely, I think, to blame. I think the wrestlers, by and large, do the best they can with what they're given.
Oh, that I agree with, yeah.
But, you know, for the sake of argument, I have to say that...
I know.
It's more otherwise, so at the wrestler's feet.
Yeah, we wouldn't have a show.
Yeah, I know. When I don't necessarily agree with that. But there are instances where I think where it seems like maybe that's... that. For example, This Is Your Life thing. If everybody involved in that segment, from a performance aspect, realizes it's not good, then do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's grabbing the brass ring. That's making your own opportunity.
Yep.
So.
That's true. All right. So next up, we have a question from our good friendo, Adam Mayhem.
Yes.
Let's see what he has to say.
Buenas tardes, friendo university. Bienvenidos to another edition of Chit Chat with the Champ. Now, Steven Larson, debate question. You ready? All right. Which moment in wrestling history would you rather erase? Okay? Larson, I want you to debate for the deletion of the Montreal Screwjob. And Steve, I want you to go for the deletion of the NWO. Not just the WWE's version. No, no, no. NWO erased forever and everything that happened. So, Steve, NWO deletion. Larson, the deletion of the Montreal Screwjob and everything that happened afterwards. Not everything that happens, but you know what I mean. Anyway, take it easy, guys.
Thank you, Adam Mayhem. This is the first time I think we're given the positions we need to debate.
All right. He sees grabbing the brass ring.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So which moment in wrestling history would you erase? I kind of have the easier one here with the NWO.
I think so.
Okay. I'll go first.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So granted, the NWO really helped usher in true competition between the WWF and WCW. It helped launch WCW to ratings victories. It rejuvenated Hulk Hogan's career. It also could be debated that the NWO helped usher in the demise of WCW, because we saw what happened with NWO, which was such a money-making angle, gimmick, whatever you want to call it. And we saw what happens when a company with no true vision, no true leadership, has something amazing in their hands, and what happens with it. They beat it to a pulp.
Yeah.
Beating a dead horse is the term.
Yes.
And that's what they did ad nauseum to the NWO. And even Vince didn't learn when they came to the WWF. And we saw just the other day when we did our Going In Review, or wait, that's going up Sunday.
Yeah.
Our Going In Review, when we see the final death throes of the NWO, when it was Shawn Michaels with his weird hat, Kevin Nash, who seemed checked out because Scott Hall wasn't there, Big Show and X-Pac, who looked like he was like the biggest NWO mark ever because everything that he wore had an NWO logo on it. We saw what happened when it was mishandled. And so that's the moment in wrestling history I would race as the NWO, because I feel like, here's the thing. Wow, I just thought about this on the spot. The NWO, one of the points I made about the NWO just a moment ago was that it rejuvenated Hulk Hogan's career. It's not necessarily a good thing.
No.
Because look at all the talent in WCW that could have ascended had it not been for Hulk Hogan's creative control, which was basically a direct result. If they allowed him to continue upon his trajectory, run out that whatever contract he was on in 1996, 1997, whatever it was, when the NWO formed and he rejuvenated his career, if they allowed that contract to expire, he probably would have gotten another contract, but that contract probably would not have included creative control. If Nash, Hall, and like Sting mm-hmm. had formed the NWO, then Hogan's power would have dropped and they would have had all the power. And we saw what happened when they were in control of the NWO, creatively speaking. Like, it was cool. Once Bischoff got his hands on it and wanted to turn everything into a motorcycle gang, it stopped being cool.
Yeah, it wasn't cool. It was like middle-aged man cool.
Then they had to right the ship, and I think Nash took over as Booker, and things weren't great. But Hogan, his career would have continued to diminish. His power would have diminished. We would have seen guys like Raven, Benoit, Booker T, Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner, ascend to their rightful positions. While the WWF was having their talent renaissance, WCW would have had their rightful Guerrero, their rightful Jericho, Big Show, their rightful talent renaissance ascend, and we would have had an even stronger Monday Night Wars. But that's all dependent on if there is a true artistic vision there, and there was nobody there, so it wouldn't have mattered. But that's what I would have erased.
Before I continue on my point, I want to make one point to counter yours. You bring up the fact that if Hogan hadn't joined the NWO, then his career renaissance wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
But if you swap out Hogan for Sting, who would have been the NWO's foil? It would have been Hogan. So that could have been a different avenue to a creative renaissance or a more relevant Hulk Hogan.
Well, let's drop the debate aspect right now and talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Cuz I don't know that would be the most logical choice.
Sting apparently at the behest of Scott Hall took a fairly big risk in changing his character to a very dramatic degree.
Yes.
Had Hogan had cold feet about the NWO and he was their main foil, I'm not sure he ever would have. Well, maybe that would have given him inspiration to say, man, if I would have done that, that could have been a career rejuvenation. So maybe I should take my character in a completely different direction. I don't know if he's not surrounded by cool guys like Hall and Nash sort of anchoring the cool aspect of things.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what direction he could have taken himself in that would have been as seemingly organic as Sting did.
Well, I guess I should say logically from a storyline perspective, I should say logically.
Because I think you're right about that.
A political perspective. He would have lobbied backstage to be the man, the one man who opposes the NWO.
Yeah.
And for sure, just to keep the spotlight on him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he wouldn't have been the NWO, but at the same time, he still would have pushed to have that storyline involve himself in a way that would push him.
Yeah, but ratings are everything. In the main event. And crowd reaction is everything.
Oh, I understand.
Box office is everything.
I understand, but he would have made every effort for that to happen.
I think it would be a lot easier to have to exercise that political control if you are part of this cool movement as opposed to, oh, there's this really cool thing. Well, I'm going to wear my big yellow underwear and take these guys on head on.
I mean, it seems like that he's used less rationale to make moves for himself backstage. Anyways,
let's talk about the Montreal Screwjob.
So I got to argue that I would argue or erase the Montreal Screwjob from wrestling history. Now, the Montreal Screwjob, I'm not going to go into details about it because everybody knows about it.
Sure.
Could be argued gave birth, to a certain degree, the Attitude Era, and most definitely the character of Mr. McMahon.
Yeah.
And without Mr. McMahon, one could argue that Stone Cold may not have reached the heights he did.
It's true.
During the course of their rivalry. But let's say the Montreal Screwjob never happened. Let's say Brett and Vince agreed upon a means of dropping the belt without any hijinks.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be on Raw the night after, like Vince said, okay, I trust you, Brett, to not screw me over and go to WCW Nitro with that belt. Or Brett says, all right, I know I'm a proud Canadian, but we can find a way for me to drop the belt here in Canada and allow me to save face.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, Brett drops the belt, and everybody's happy. Everybody's satisfied with the conclusion of that. So we don't get Brett punching Vince. We don't get Vince saying Brett screwed Brett. We don't get that. And in that sense, you could say, let's say for the sake of argument, we get no Mr. McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
The ingredients were all there in WWF at the time for the Attitude Era to begin. They've already made that transition to more mature themes, more complex characters. Stone Cold was firmly entrenched as the top guy or soon to be top guy. That wouldn't have changed. I think the two major things that we wouldn't have got would be Mr. McMahon, and we would never have gotten bitter Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bret would have went to WCW. I think still, to a certain extent, WWF was his home for so long. I think for him, there might be a bit missing, especially if WCW, without the NWO, was still creatively such a mess. But I think he wouldn't have been as angry,
mm-hmm.
because I think he still carries around the bitterness of being screwed out of that title.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, there were still enough effective heel characters in WWE, I think, to maybe not replace Mr. McMahon, but to serve as serviceable counterparts to Stone Cold. Heel Undertaker, quality. You had HBK at first before he got hurt. Triple H was on the way up, The Rock. You could have still used all those pieces to tell effective, compelling stories and serve as really good rivals to Stone Cold. Hell, The Rock is Stone Cold's primary rival in the ring. Just focus more on that. You don't need Mr. McMahon. It's entirely possible to build the WWF to be something what it resembled to be without Mr. McMahon involved. So he could be done.
There's an argument to be made, and I probably wouldn't make it, but...
Also, without Mr. McMahon, you don't have Stone Cold's crap heel turn at WrestleMania 17.
That's true as well. But also, you wouldn't have... Because by that time, even without the screw job, they were acknowledging that Mr. McMahon was the CEO
of the
company.
Yeah, the owner of the company. He transitioned from doing play-by-play to being an interviewer, but he was still mm-hmm. being acknowledged as, yes.
Right, exactly.
The head of the company, yeah.
And so, if you look at how McMahon heavy the Attitude Era was, and the company continued to be for decades afterwards,
still to this day,
arguably, now there was a lot of good there. There was a lot of good there. Mr. McMahon stuff, but like WrestleMania 2000,
no,
for example,
not good.
You had a McMahon in every corner.
It was unnecessary.
Totally unnecessary. The invasion angle. Remember famously, the poster of invasion was what?
Half Shane, half Vince.
Too much McMahon.
Yes. Take the focus off the McMahon family, more on the superstars.
At WrestleMania 2000, it should have been probably what? Rock, Triple H in the main event? Something
Probably,
like that.
Probably.
I would think that.
Or, I mean, Stone Cold was injured. That's why he wasn't
involved. That's why he wasn't involved. Exactly.
So, I mean, if Stone Cold were healthy, he would have been involved in that main event for sure.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Because the previous year was Stone Cold Rock the main event. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been surprised if it would have been Stone Cold Rock again.
Mm, yeah, exactly. And so, but, you know, he was injured. So, you know, you take that silly four-way thing out. Yeah, Rock and Triple H. Just that's your headliner right there.
I mean, Foley had retired.
Yeah. They brought him back for that.
Yeah.
I think the more interesting here's the thing about taking away the Montreal Screwjob. I think you're right. I think that if you take away the Montreal Screwjob, WWF I think is still fine.
Yeah,
I think they're still good. And in fact, if you look at the hottest angle that actually kicked off the Attitude Era, wasn't Stone Cold McMahon? It was Stone Cold Mike Tyson.
Oh, I would actually say it was Stone Cold Brett.
Yeah, Stone Cold
before
Brett.
That.
Yeah. But like mainstream media attention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so they had the ingredients. McMahon had the ideas to, you know, DX was still strong, you know. So
everything was still in place for the Attitude Era to go almost as well as it did, I would say, just without the McMahon being so heavily involved.
And it wouldn't surprise me if... So did... Okay, remember that first time that Stone Cold stunned McMahon when he was, like, being interviewed in the ring?
Yeah.
That preceded the Montreal Screwjob, didn't it?
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if McMahon, even if he hadn't, even without the Montreal Screwjob.
Oh, he still could become Mr.
The
McMahon.
The seeds were still in place.
Yeah, they still
could
have done that. Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Just the crowd had something so real to hold on to hold against him, to hate him with the Brett thing.
Yeah.
So,
but they could have formulated something else if that's the direction they wanted to go.
Yeah, and Austin was so good.
Yeah.
And, so, we might not have had all that lecherous Vince stuff. Had it not been for the Montreal Screwjob.
That's a reason alone to erase Montreal Screwjob from history.
There you go. Anyways, all great video topics to debate.
Yes, thank you very much, everybody.
In video form. So thank you very much. And again, if you guys want to get involved in these debates, it's $20 a month on Patreon. So there's a sales pitch for you. Anyways, let us know what you guys think in the comments. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.